Welcome to the North Shore Vineyard Church audio podcast. I'm Crispin Schroeder. Today on the podcast, we have audio from our service on Sunday, October 24th, downtown Covington. We're continuing our look into the Lord's Prayer, specifically, "Give us this day our daily bread." So, without further ado, let's head to the talk. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to check us out on the web at northshorevineyard.org. All right.
I just found this song. Most people have never heard this, particularly Johnny Cash tune, but I just found it, and I thought, man, this is a cool song. So, "The Gospel According to Johnny Cash." Here we go. Come heed me, my brothers, come heed one and all. Don't brag about standing or you'll surely fall. You're shining your light, shine it you should. But you're so heavenly minded, you know earthly good. If you're holding heaven, then spread it around. There's hungry hands reaching up here from the ground. Move over and share the high ground where you stood. You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. The gospel ain't gospel until it is spread. But how can you share it where you've got your head? There's hands that reach out for a hand if you would. But you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. If you're holding heaven, then spread it around. There's hungry hands reaching up here from the ground. Move over and share the high ground where you stood. You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Come hear me, good sisters, you salt of the earth. If your salt ain't salty, then what is it worth? You could give someone a cool drink if you would. But you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. If you're holding heaven, spread it around. There's hungry hands reaching up here from the ground. Move over and share the high ground where you stood. You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Thank you very much. Johnny Cash. All right. It's a good song and a good message, too. We're just going to let Johnny preach this morning. Have you ever known anybody that embodied that phrase? You're so heavenly minded that you know it's the good. Okay, now here's another question. We're going to do like Religioholics Anonymous. Has anybody ever been that person before? Okay, yes. I admit that. I have spent times in my Christian life where I've been so heavenly minded that I was no good for anybody else. You know, I remember having a conversation with a guy one time, and he was telling me, he's like, I love reading the Bible. It's like, great, man. He's like, I read the Word day and night, man. I say, I hardly even watch TV because I love getting in the Word so much. I was like, great, cool, awesome. He said, but then he began to tell me how he had really problems with sharing the truth of the Bible with other people. And I said, well, you know, that's your problem. You're spending so much time in the Bible, you need to spend a little bit more time with people too and kind of learn how to talk. I had another friend who was
a worship leader one time, and this guy, he told me of a church up in Kansas City called, they got this thing called the International House of Prayer, which they're getting sued by the International House of Pancakes, I heard recently. So that'll be fun to keep our eye on, see how that works. But IHOP, the church, kind of what's made them famous is they have this nonstop worship service going on. So like for people who love worshiping, man, it's cool. Like you can go in there 24 hours a day, anytime, and they got a band doing worship. So that's pretty hot. And so my friend, he'd been a worship leader at one time, you know, and in the campus ministry that I was at, and he had found himself just doing a regular old job, you know, just kind of the kind that most people do. And he told me one morning, he said, you know, I just wish I could get some people to give me some support so I could just move up to IHOP and just worship God all the time. I'm like, yeah, me too. Because I was kind of telling him, I mean, the truth is, even leading worship at a church, it ain't all that glamorous 90% of the time. You know, the little slice that people get to hear on the worship, that's fun. But as I was talking to him, I felt this frustration because here he was in a job where he had the opportunity to share Jesus with people on a regular basis. But he was so heavenly minded, he was no earthly good. Another person I know, this lady, she was working for a state representative here in Louisiana. And so she had this wonderful opportunity of meeting everybody with problems. You know, I mean, folks would come in there in her office every day with, like, problems with hospital insurance, problems with, you know, trying to get somebody into rehab, whatever. I mean, just broken people. And she would complain to me that she was just like, oh, I just wish I could get back in ministry. She had once been in ministry full time. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You're in ministry full time. It's right here in front of you. There are people coming to you asking you for help every day. She was too heavenly minded. She was no earthly good. Well, today we've been in this bit of a series on prayer for a couple of months now, but specifically looking at the Lord's Prayer for a few weeks. And what we're finding in the Lord's Prayer, where I kind of left off a couple of weeks back before we had our special guest last week, is the Lord's Prayer, it's not one of these kind of spiritual, ethereal, kind of out there prayers, you know? Jesus, two weeks ago, I said, Jesus tells us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. And even though that's right there in the Lord's Prayer, the most famous prayer that most Christians have ever come in contact with, people outside of the church would recognize the prayer, we miss that aspect of it. We're so concerned with going somewhere else and getting out of here. We think that that's what being a Christian is all about. But really, Christianity is not about escaping this life, going somewhere else where the action is. No, the action's right here. And Jesus says, pray, your kingdom come here. In your family, your business, your job, the people you touch, the actual place where you live on earth as it is in heaven. Well, Jesus goes on to kind of take this idea of tying it into our everyday reality with the next verse that we're going to look at. So the Lord's Prayer up to this point is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We're going to stop there today. We'll get the rest of them in the future. But give us this day our daily bread. You know, I mentioned a while back in Jesus' instructions on how to pray, Jesus, before he actually gives the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like play actors and Pharisees. They pray these long, amazing prayers. They're really good at prayer. But he said, you know what? They get their reward. Their reward is the applause of people. Jesus said, when you pray, don't fall into that trap, that temptation. You go into a quiet place and just pray to your Father in heaven. And what I mentioned a couple weeks back is that Jesus doesn't ignore our need for attention and affirmation. Anybody need attention and affirmation in your life? Yeah, we got a few honest people in here this morning. There's a lot of religions out there that, you know, like Buddhism would kind of see that need itself as evil. Jesus doesn't see the need itself as evil. He just reorients it. He puts it in its proper place. That wanting attention is not bad. Wanting affirmation is not bad. But we look to that not from people, but from our Heavenly Father. In the same way, in this next clause, Jesus doesn't, you know, treat our everyday physical desires as something unspiritual. You know, there's a lot of religious philosophies that I kind of talked about a couple weeks ago, Gnosticism and different ideas that treat the physical world as if it's bad and secondary to the spiritual realm. But Jesus doesn't do that. He actually says that, you know, our everyday physical needs are okay. It's not something we have to deny. We don't have to, you know, pretend that we don't need clothes, as some people may do in some places in the country. We don't need to pretend that eating is an evil thing or whatever, or shelter, or that you know, those are lesser needs. No, Jesus puts it right in the Lord's Prayer. Those needs themselves are okay. Now, as with the other, you know, emotional needs, he puts them in the right place. Actually, after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus goes on to say that in Matthew 6:25, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" He goes on to say, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." See, Jesus doesn't deny our needs for shelter and clothing and all that. That's okay. But he wants us to live in such a way, and this is right in the Lord's Prayer, that we come to God for our daily bread. Daily. We don't come to God for our bread that's out there, you know, 2 years from now. God, you know, take care of 2 years from now or next week. No, we come to God for our daily bread. So I find that there's kind of two traps that we fall in when it comes into our physical needs. The first is greed, hoarding. You know, I know a lot of Christians that have kind of got crazy with hoarding stuff sometimes. They feel like the end of the world's coming, so they start, you know, stockpiling all kinds of stuff, you know, because they want to get a bunker in Mississippi and we're going to be all right. Well, that's okay as long as you're hoarding up stuff so you can take care of other people. But Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry about the future. Don't get consumed with greed in the here and now. The other thing that we can be paralyzed with in the here and now is anxiety. You ever got there before? I know sometimes, man, you watch the news, you hear, we're in a recession. There's unemployment rate, it's not coming down. And we might have a double dip recession. We may run out of money. We may run out of, and you can get so fixated on how bad things are that it actually paralyzes you in the here and now. You ever find that? You're so worried about tomorrow that you can't live in the now. Well, the Lord's Prayer has a way of breaking both anxiety and fear, because he says, come to God daily and say, God, give me, I'm not worried about next year. I'm not worried about next week. I can't change yesterday. Give me what I need today. Give me what I need today to live in your kingdom and live out your purposes in my life. Think of how much your life would change if you actually prayed that like that every day. See, it seems like a very simple prayer, but if we actually live out the prayer and say, and actually go to God, say, God, give me what I need today. Yeah, but you don't know what kind of bills I got piling up. Give me what I need today. Yeah, but I just lost my job. Okay, well, give me what I need today. Well, do you see where the country's going? Well, give me what I need today, Lord. Actually, as far as I'm concerned, the first instance that I could find of daily bread was from the Old Testament. Back in Genesis, or Exodus, we find out about the children of Israel. We find the story of their slavery and subsequent freedom. And they're enslaved in Egypt for close to 400 years. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. America celebrated the bicentennial back in 1976. I was, about 4 years old. It was a big party. And so America is just 200 years old. And you know what we think in America? We have this natural idea that you can be anything you want to be, right? You've heard the term, pull yourself up from the bootstraps, make something of yourself. Do you realize how crazy that way of thinking is in the history of the world? Like 99.9% of people that have ever lived on planet Earth never thought the future was wide open. You make of it what you want. You can just choose to be, you know, and put a little hard work, elbow grease in. You can make something of yourself. But that's the world that we've lived in. That's the culture that's been handed down to us for 200 years. Now, I want you to think of the Israeli people, the Jewish people who were under slavery in Egypt. 400 years of being a slave. 400 years of being abused and used under the power of Egyptian rule. God raises up a deliverer, which we talked about in Alpha this last week, raises up a guy by the name of Moses. Moses sets them free, and they begin what's called the Exodus. But what's interesting in the Exodus is the way that God decides to take care of his people. The way he decides to feed them. He devises this stuff called manna. You ever heard of manna? Manna was this substance that would appear, God would make it appear on the ground every day, and the Jewish people could go out there and gather it. And the word manna in Hebrew actually means, what is it? I'm not making this stuff up. Because the first Hebrew people went out there, they gathered some of this stuff, and God's like, here's your breakfast. And they're like, what is it? But the interesting thing with manna is you couldn't just go back through the buffet line with your to-go box and get a bunch for the next day. Because by the next day, any manna that you had, it would be spoiled. It would have worms in it. It'd be nasty. And so you could only get what you needed for that day. And this is brilliant because God is taking their mindset that was formed under hundreds of years of slavery, and he's beginning to reconfigure it and renew their minds through something very simple. You've heard the term, the quickest way to a man's heart is through his stomach. God knew that. God knows people pretty good. And so he gets at their heart by getting at their appetites and reconfiguring them, getting them to understand that their sufficiency, their provision doesn't come from the Egyptian government. It comes from God. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5 says this, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. See, God is changing their thinking. They've been under a slavery mindset. The everything that makes sense, their default way of thinking about life is, we got to do this stuff so the Egyptian government will take care of us. My well-being is tied to the Egyptian economy. And God's saying, no, you're not tied to the Egyptian economy. You're not even tied to your economy. You don't live by bread alone. You live by every word that comes from my mouth. And he taught him that for 40 years. It took, you know, it probably took 40 years to begin adjusting that thinking. 40 years of going out every day and gathering manna and figuring out, what can we make with this stuff? God used it to get at their hearts, to humble them, to test them, to teach them about who he is. In the same way, the Lord's Prayer, if we pray it every day, we're coming to God saying, God, give me my daily bread. What are we saying there? We're saying, God, I know my provision doesn't ultimately come from the United States of America. It doesn't ultimately come from how good I do my job. Now, God may use your job. He may use America. But ultimately, my provision, my sustenance comes from you. You're the one who takes care of me. That's what we get at in the Lord's Prayer. I love Proverbs 30, 8 through 9. This is a great prayer. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. See, that's what the Lord's Prayer is getting at. It's not getting at God, you know, make sure that everything's safe so I don't ever have to worry about anything, because I don't know about you, but I got to those times in my life where I had all my ducks in a row and and then sometimes a wind comes from out of nowhere and knocks you sideways and you realize all these things that you put your trust in can just evaporate in an instant. Yeah, I mean, you realize that? Here's a little wake-up call. You could have a great retirement account that you've saved up. You can have all these things. And really, it only takes a few stupid world events to just completely knock it all out of the way. It's better. It's not bad to have. I'm not saying it's bad to have, you know, like everybody needs to empty out their accounts today. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm saying our trust isn't in that. It's okay to have that. The Lord is who takes care of us. So the prayer, our daily bread, it anchors us in the here and now. It keeps us in this moment present. We're present to God. We're present to others. We're simply asking God, give us what we need today. Now, the other thing that we can see in this little phrase in the Lord's Prayer is that it's give us our daily bread. Now, if we pray this like most Americans, it'd be give me mine. Give me my daily bread. Take care of me. But Jesus anchors this in this kind of reality that's considering other people. It's not just my daily bread. When I go to pray, I'm praying about my needs, but I'm also thinking of Dan here. And maybe Dan's going through something right now. Maybe he's having a hard time finding work. Well, I'm praying for him and his family, and I'm considering what they're going through. See, I'm not alone. It's, you know, there's a little phrase we kind of came up with several months ago. If we ever have a bumper sticker for the church, the idea is you are not the point, but a point. Everything that Jesus did is not just about you, but what God wants to do in and through you. You're a point in the line of what God is doing. And that's what's contained in the Lord's Prayer, that it's give us this day our daily bread. And so when we pray, we're praying with the needs of others in mind. God, come through and help this friend of mine who's just lost his job. Help this family that's got a newborn baby, and they're trying to figure out how to come up with enough funds to take care of that baby. Give us our daily bread. But it's not just enough to even pray it in those terms. There's a sense of, as I've mentioned on a couple of occasions, of putting feet to our prayers. What's that mean? That means like living the reality of our prayers. We pray something, but we don't just pray it. We don't just keep it out there. God bless all the people of the world like Miss USA would pray. We actually try to actually be a blessing to all the people in our corner of the world that we come in contact with. James 2, 14 through 17 says this. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm, be well fed, but if he does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, it's dead. See, we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We pray for other people who may be struggling with finding daily bread, but we also live a life that is motivated by that prayer. We actually take it seriously that we don't just let this be words to God to take care of me, but we actually seek that, you know, if Dan's having a problem taking care of his family, I don't say, oh, man, Dan, bless you. God bless you, dude. Be fed. Take care of that family. No, if I have resources, if I have something in my life that I can help them, if I'm praying in that light, then I consider, God, do you want me to help? Yeah, I got to tell you, over my years as a Christian, man, there are times, I've shared this before, you know, we were a couple years into marriage, and I was going to college full-time, playing music, and then doing landscape, none of which paid very well. College didn't pay anything at the time. Still paying for the college. But I can remember years where our tax return was thousands of dollars beneath the poverty line. I don't know how he did it, but God took care of us. And sometimes he actually took care of us through other people. I mean, there would be times where all the work in the world dried up. I wasn't trying to be lazy or anything, but I mean, there you'd go a month without anything. All of a sudden, God would put it on somebody's heart. I think it's because they were praying, give us our daily bread, and they were thinking in light of that prayer. They were acting on it. And I've done the same thing for other people sometimes too. You know, God, in praying that prayer, if I'm really going to ask God, give us our daily bread, then I got to say, God, where am I connected to some people? You know, that's one reason we did an outreach here a few months ago called Bag Hunger, where we went into the community and we got folks, we dropped these bags off in their front doors, and then we came, picked them up a week later and just told people to put groceries in them. And we picked them up and we did a big food drive for the Covington Food Bank. But that's the reason we did that is because we believe that God actually cares about that stuff. That's actually part of living out our faith. It's not just telling the community of Covington, God bless you, be at peace, be filled, you know, that's great. No, we're actually seeing ourselves as the answer. It's an interesting, one of my favorite stories in the New Testament is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. So Jesus he's out there, he's been teaching, and he's got thousands of people following him, wanting to hear what he's saying, and then after a while, they're out in the middle of nowhere. There is not an Arby's around or anywhere you can pick up some food, and the disciples come to Jesus and say, Jesus, we got thousands of people out here, and nobody got any food. And Jesus says, well, you give them something to eat. Are you crazy? All we could scrounge up was this little sack lunch of some loaves and fishes. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And so what do? They begin to pass out. They bring what little they have. And all of a sudden, God multiplies it. And he meets the needs of all those people. And I think that's a beautiful picture of what it means to live in light of give us this day our daily bread. That sometimes if in praying this prayer, God brings up the need of somebody, you may think, dude, I'm having trouble paying my own bills right now. I mean, I can't even think about helping this guy out. Well, you know, maybe you can help out just a little bit and see what God does. Maybe God just wants you to be a little obedient, to step out and say, you know, I don't have much. All I got is this little sack lunch. You know, a little sack lunch mixed with a lot of God goes a long way. The last thing I want to look at today is Jesus in John 6:35. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. It's interesting, Jesus actually says this line when something comes up about him feeding the 5,000, you know, people are saying, oh man, if you follow this Jesus guy, you're going to get free lunch and stuff. And so Jesus notices there's a crowd gathering, and he kind of starts this discussion. He says, you guys, you're not here to hear my teachings. You want some more of that fish and bread because it was pretty good. And they start having this discussion, and somebody says, well, what kind of sign are you going to give us that you're, you know, God? I mean, God in the Old Testament, he gave us manna. So Jesus says, okay, you want to know that all that manna stuff in the Old Testament? You want to know about my feeding the 5,000s? You want to know what all that's about? It's all miracles that point to me. Because really, you're going to eat that food and it's going to perish. It'll get you through that day. But he said, I am the bread of life, and if you partake of me, you're never going to get hungry or thirsty again. I'm going to satisfy that need deep in you to be connected to God. See, there's what I talked about at the beginning of the message of being so heavenly-minded, you're no earthly good, but it's possible to be so earthly-minded, you're no heavenly good. See, it's a ditch on both sides of the road. Jesus reorients our thinking as well. He says, you know, you need the bread to get through today. You need to eat lunch. You need to have clothes. All that's fine. But you also need something that's better than the bread you can get today. You need a relationship with me. You need to be connected to me. You need to be living life from that place. I'm your daily bread. I'm your manna. And see, I think ultimately that's where we have to go with prayer, is that, you know, your daily needs that you have and the daily needs that other people have, God cares about that stuff. But more than that, God cares that you're connected to him and that you're living from that place. So we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We're praying for our physical needs, but we're also praying to be in relationship with God that day. God, let me live a life that is sustained by your life today, by what you think, by your spirit. Let me not live on the best I can come up with, because that ain't going to get me farther than a couple of Twinkies in the morning. I just want to close by singing the song that we sang in worship this morning, Breathe. And you can just sit there if you'd like, or you can stand. I'm not going to tell you how to worship, but to just, oh, yeah, he forgot to pass. I forgot to. I'm trying to blame it on an announcer. Yeah, we've got, if anybody, you can, we'll just, you can drop your offering on the way out. We'll, and so as not to make our worship too awkward here.
Speaking of bread, drop your bread in. That's preaching.
We'll send it around again. But today, as we close, I just want us to reorient our lives. I figure in this room, there's probably some of you that are struggling with fear and anxiety. You don't know how things are even going to work out. You can't put it together. You can't come up with a solution that looks right from your vantage point. And so for you today, it's very hard to live in the present. It's very hard for you to pay attention to what God's doing around you today because you're so drawn into the future. Some of you may find yourself in that place of just hoarding things and just trying to get all your ducks in a row because that's become your security. And so for you today, an act of returning to God is to just take your hands off and say, God, you know I got a lot of things together, a lot of things I've been working on, trying to be wise with, but Lord, I want to take my hands. I don't want that to be an idol. I want to take my hands off of that and realize again that my provision comes from you. So wherever you're at today, let's just return to the Lord and just remind ourselves that he's our daily bread. He's our source. And he cares about where we're at. And honestly, he's not going to let us go. He is going to take care of us. So if you just want to close your eyes and think about the Lord right now, that'd be fine. You can sing along, whatever.
This is the air I breathe, and this is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread, and this is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I desperate for you. lost without you. You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. You are my daily bread. You are my daily bread. Your very word spoken without you. I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lord, help us to live in the reality of this prayer. Lord, to live in the present and the now, God. And we just look to all of our needs, physical, spiritual, emotional, to be met by you, our source, our protector. Just help us to live in that reality this week, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, started with Johnny Cash and ended with Breathe. If anybody needs some prayer specifically today, we're going to put up the chairs here in a second, and you can just hang around, and we'll be glad to get a couple people to pray with you. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thank y'all for coming out, and I think Diane's going to hold the basket back there if you came prepared to give anything, because I'm a lousy announcement giver. All right, God bless y'all.